This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Gunnison and Noel Lim.
Asian markets were a bit mixed yesterday at the close. At the end of the day, we had Japan up 0.5%, though the Hang Seng was down. Another strong sell down yesterday, 4.2%. Shanghai was down 2.5%. The STI in Singapore was pretty much flat. The FBMK LCI was up 0.1%. But as US markets closed a few hours ago, they were all in the red. The Dow was down 0.2%, the S&P down 0.5%, and the NASDAQ down 1.2%, despite strong earnings out of the trillion-dollar club. Interesting stuff.
And indeed, that's something we're going to be asking of our next guest, Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, here to talk to us more about international markets. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today. So last night, big tech companies Apple, Alphabet and Microsoft reported their earnings, which beat street expectations. But it looks like markets were hoping for more as the Nasdaq was sold down. Is this simply down to perhaps stretched valuations, Jeff?
Yeah, look, I think it's a bit of a buy the rumor and sell the fact scenario. There's so much good news built into these tech giants that if they don't basically blow those results out of the water, there tends to be some profit taking coming to the market. And I think that's what we saw last night. Apple had great numbers, but around about what people thought. Alphabet blew their numbers out of the water, fantastic results. But Microsoft was slightly disappointing. And then on the periphery, people like companies like Starbucks also had disappointing results. And that was enough to see some of that buy the rumor, sell the fact, short-term profit taking hit the NASDAQ in particular. However, I think that dip will only be temporary. These are great companies printing money and they're part of anyone's portfolio. So I'm looking at this as a short-term move, not the end of days for the tech side of things.
Well, meanwhile, over in Hong Kong, Chinese education and tech stocks were hammered. Will this have a knock-on effect on the share prices of other Chinese equities?
Oh, definitely. I think this is the new reality now, which is where the market tries to price in the appropriate discount for China government regulatory risk. They've got busy in a number of different sectors now. We also have credit concerns running around perpetually in the property sector and also with the local government special financing vehicles as well. None of that's going away. I believe that we've still got a lot more downside in these in China itself until such a stage that valuations get to the point that they become attractive enough to offset that risk. But I don't think the market's found that level yet.
Similarly, while we speak about Asia, Jeff, do you foresee any spillover contagion effects from this on North Asia or Southeast Asian markets?
Well, I think it will really come down to whether they feel that the government clampdown is going to affect the pace of the China recovery. And I'm not really seeing anything along those lines yet. South Korea is still performing well. Japan's performing well. So is Taiwan. So I don't really think that the fallout's going to be too great there because they are facing the greater world export-wise, not just China. And I do believe actually even ASEAN markets, particularly in the tech space, may benefit from some rotation out of China tech. Those are, investors are still going to want to be exposed to Asia technology and they're going to be looking at companies all over Asia now. So I believe that some of the unicorns in India and Malaysia and in Indonesia and other parts of Asia all stand to benefit from the problems that are happening in China at the moment.
Now, Jeff, the spread of the Delta variant also interrupted an oil rally, which began late last year, and yet prices remain steady. Do you have a bullish or bearish near-term outlook on oil?
Yeah, I mean, oil's recovered all of last Monday's Delta dip, as I've been calling it. that lasted precisely one day, and then it's recovered back to basically where it started. I think oil prices are at an equilibrium level right now, particularly ahead of the FOMC meeting tonight that we'll get the result out of tomorrow morning. So I'm looking at Brent crude to sort of sit in a $73 to $75 range this week. I still feel that the outlook for oil is constrained. constructive. Delta will only slow the global recovery. It's not going to completely undermine it. But I think the fall in oil was a reflection of the extreme speculative long positioning in the market, if anything, not just this Delta variant worry. And that, and the price action suggests that too. So, I mean, the price action suggests to me that investors are still keen to be long oil, given the pace of that recovery. So I'm expecting more gains, but at a slower pace from here.
Well, Bitcoin prices are moving up again, and I know you hold the view that Bitcoin is hype, but is there any reason we should look at it as institutional investors are pushing this to their clients?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. A lot of the noise about companies such as JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs clearing trades, they're not actually getting involved in the trades. They're clearing them for customers because private clients want that facility. Look, I think the big thing here with Bitcoin and other digitals is that they're tradable assets, not necessarily investable assets, in which case you can play around short term with the volatility. For me, the noise about Amazon potentially accepting payment was what set this off. I think there's also been some haven rotation from the travails in China as well. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if there's been a lot of Chinese mainland investors and from Hong Kong moving into Bitcoin in the last few days, and that's pushed it higher. And I think the market was actually short because it had been sitting at the bottom of its range, but not breaking down for some time. I do respect the breakout. The breakout to me targets around 51,000. And as long as it remains above 34,000, that uptrend remains intact. So as I said, in the spirit of a tradable digital tulip rather than a an investable digital tulip, it looks like Bitcoin can move higher.
A tradable digital tulip. Fantastic, yes. Jeff. Now, I want to ask you about gold, though. This is another tradable asset, a long time that we've come to love it. It's been anchored at $1,800 an ounce for a little while now. What are your expectations for its the range for the next few months? And what are the key factors that are going to be playing into that? Are we going to be looking for cues from Jerome Powell at the next FOMC meeting or his next press conference, or maybe paying more attention to bond prices?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, an asset that you can drop on your foot and break it, yeah, that's an investable asset. It's a real asset, and certainly gold will do that for you with enough of it. I think gold itself has been in a holding pattern at the moment, and that's mainly due to US dollar strength. US bond yields keep going down. I think gold's sitting in an equilibrium level again at around this $1,800 an ounce. For gold, I think the next key event will be the FOMC tonight. So if Mr. Powell mentions the dreaded taper word, then we're going to see gold resolve lower. But otherwise, from my point of view, I think gold is quietly consolidating at the top of its medium-term range. And once we get past this period of dollar strength, we're going to see gold move back towards $1,900.
Jeff, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst over at Owanda, giving us some insight into what is moving markets today.
And it seems to be the greater fool theory moving markets, right? Especially when we take a look at the cryptocurrency markets. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in it, but from the way Jeff was speaking, right, and from the notes that we read, of course, that he puts out, it seems to be people trading on technicalities, the technicals, right? There's momentum here in the trade. There's money to be made, very similar to the Dutch tulip back in the day, back in the way day, right? But end of the day, there are always going to be skeptics here. Yes, you can close your eyes and make money on the technical side and let the momentum play out. It's not the first time this will happen, and not the last time it will happen, and this is not the only asset class that this happens with. But it's you got to keep both eyes open, I guess, when you do something like this, right? Because again, the tangibles aren't really there. The understanding is if people, whether it's the knowledgeable investors who are playing it is another thing. So whether this ends in tears like the tulip situation is a big question on everyone's minds.
Yeah. So, I guess for Bitcoin, I think any conservative investors might be, you know, quite careful about this. But I think looking at institutional investors are getting very interested in this area. And so I think it's obviously the market is worth watching out for.
I wonder how they would, I guess, price that in their risk, right? Because they always, if an institutional investor is going to get involved, they always got to calibrate that as based on their capital situation and all of that. The kind of value, the kind of risk weighting they give that kind of asset. That would be very, very interesting to pay attention to.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.